Welcome to installment 95 of Sefer Mitzvos in the Rambam. Today's portion will continue with the laws of Kashrut. It contains three positive commandments, 150, 151, and 152, inspecting birds, grasshoppers, and fish to ensure that they are kosher. It also has two prohibitions, prohibition 172, not to eat non-kosher animals, and 174, not to eat non-kosher birds. As we discussed in yesterday's portion, the Rambam has a disagreement with the Ramban, with Nachmanides, as to whether it is a positive commandment to examine every creature that we eat to determine whether it has the signs of a kosher animal or not. The Rambam holds that it is a positive commandment, which he derives in general from the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 25, which states, "You must separate out the clean animals and birds from the unclean." The Rambam explains that how can we separate out the clean from the unclean? Only through determining whether it has the signs as given to us by the Torah, whether it is a kosher creature or not. The Rambam further holds that examining each category of creature for its proper sign is an individual and unique distinct mitzvah. Yesterday's positive commandment 149 was examining animals, such as cows and sheep, to see as to whether they have the kosher signs. Today's three positive commandments, 150, 151, and 152, also involve a similar category of commandment. 150 is to examine birds to see whether they are kosher or not. All of these laws derive from Parshas Shmini, from the book of Leviticus chapter 11, as well as Parshas Re'eh chapter 14 in the book of Deuteronomy. When it comes to birds, we are not given in the Chumash the signs of what makes a bird kosher or not. Rather, those species of birds which are not kosher are listed. The reason for this is that the Torah expresses itself in the most concise way possible. Since there are a larger number of kosher birds as compared to non-kosher birds, the Torah takes the shorter, more concise path and lists all those birds which are not kosher. We would think then that we could eat any bird which is not one of these listed in the Chumash. However, since there is some uncertainty as to which one of the birds we have today corresponds to a particular bird listed in the Chumash, today we can only eat birds if we have a Maseda, if we have a tradition which has been passed down through the ages that a certain bird is kosher. There were certain scholars in the past who would make a point of taking a particular species of bird and slaughtering it and eating it at least once a year in order to preserve the tradition that this particular bird is kosher. Even though we need a passed-on tradition in order to eat any particular bird, nevertheless, the Talmud gives us certain signs which are present in a kosher bird and which are not present in a non-kosher one. The presence of any of these signs would indicate to us that the bird is not kosher. However, even if all of them were not present, that would not allow us to eat the bird. The prime example given is that the bird is a non-violent one. Should there be a sign that the bird is deides, that it attacks or it's meat-eating, or any of the other descriptions given to what it means a violent bird, should it be violent, it is considered to be a non-kosher bird. In addition, the bird which is kosher has an etzba yaseira, an extra toe, so to speak. On the bottom of its claw, it has an opposing toe, which the non-kosher birds in general do not have. In addition, the kurkabun, or the gizzard, the pupik, has an inner membrane which peels easily in a kosher bird. Although the other birds might also have this gizzard, the inner membrane is attached and does not peel easily. Another sign is that of a zephik, a crop, which is part of the digestive system between the mouth and the first part of the stomach, the pupik, that there is a zephik which aids in digestion, which is present in all kosher birds. Another sign is through looking at the eggs. The eggs of a kosher bird are always kad v'chad, says the Gemara, that they are pointed on one side and more rounded on the other. Should they come to a point on both ends or be rounded on both ends, this is a sign of a non-kosher egg. So too, there are different sorts of eggs in which the yolk is on the outside and the white is on the inside, or the white and the yolk should be mixed together. These again are signs of unkosher eggs. Positive commandment number 151 deals with a little-known mitzvah, that there are kosher grasshoppers. Verse 21 in chapter 11 of Leviticus describes one sign of these kosher grasshoppers, that they have kra'ayim mimal l'raglav, that it has two legs which extend above and beyond the other legs of the animal, the other four legs. These are known in the Talmud as karsulim. And these, says the Chumash, are to jump, to hop on the land. And this is the one sign of a kosher grasshopper listed. The Talmud lists other signs, that there, in addition to these two legs, there are four other legs. Also, there are four wings on a kosher grasshopper, two upper wings and two lower wings. In addition, a fourth sign is given, that these wings must cover the majority of the grasshopper's body, both in length and in width. If any of these four signs are absent, this is the sign that the grasshopper is not kosher. The Talmud says that out of all of the different sorts of grasshoppers in the world, and it describes that there are approximately 800 different species, that only 8 out of the 800 are kosher species. The four species which are listed in the Chumash as being kosher sorts of grasshoppers are described at some length in the Talmud. One of them is even described in the Talmud as having a similarity in the embryonic state to the embryo of a human. However, today, in the vast majority of communities, grasshoppers are not eaten. The exception to this is in some Yemenite communities and Moroccan communities, in which they have a tradition passed down through the ages which grasshoppers are kosher and which are not. Among the present-day experts who can identify the kosher species, it is said that they are very rare today, since the kosher kind of grasshopper only exists in swarms, and they don't exist individually and far apart from each other, and is relatively rare today to see swarms of grasshoppers. The general community at large, aside from the Yemenites and Moroccans, follow the opinion of Rashi and the general Ashkenazic custom not to eat any grasshoppers, since there are certain variations between them as to the existence of a tail and to the size of the head. Therefore, no grasshoppers whatsoever are eaten. Positive commandment 152 is again to identify the signs, this time of fish. The two signs of a kosher fish are listed in the Chumash as being snapir v'kaskesis, having fins and scales. Interestingly enough, the Talmud says, in truth, it's only one sign. Once a fish has scales, we know automatically that it has fins, since there is no fish which has scales and does not have fins. If so, the description that kosher fish have fins seems to be extra. Why did the Torah teach us this? This is to teach us, says the Talmud, for Yagdil Torah V'Yadir, in order to increase the amount of Torah in the world, to teach us this very fact, that any fish which has scales automatically has fins. When we discuss scales, however, we must keep in mind that the Hebrew kaskeses is not precisely the same as the English word scales. This has led to some misunderstanding, as some people have claimed that certain fish, such as swordfish or sturgeon, are kosher, since the government officials say that they do have scales. However, the fact that the government says they have scales does not mean that they are kaskeses. In order to satisfy the Torah's description of kaskeses, of scales, the scales must be removed from the skin easily, and the skin does not go with it. There are, in fact, four different types of scales, only two of which can be considered to be the sign of a kosher fish. We have mentioned on other occasion that the kosher laws are not a health code in order to keep the Jewish people physically healthy only. Rather, it is of divine purpose and of divine structure, of a reason which is far beyond our understanding. Nevertheless, we do see fringe benefits, so to speak, in the physical realm. For example, there were times when the eating of pork was not a healthy pastime, and therefore people could get sick, and therefore there was a fringe benefit of keeping kosher by not eating pork. Although today the health aspect might be irrelevant in this case, nevertheless the spiritual aspect remains unchanged. In the case of fish with fins and scales, the Ramban mentions one of these fringe benefits. Fish with fins and scales, says the Ramban, come up frequently to the air, to the surface, and breathe air from outside the water. This, he says, helps rid the body of the fish from different impurities and different diseases, and therefore makes it a healthier fish to eat. The last two commandments of today's portion are prohibitions. Prohibition number 172 derives from verse 6 in chapter 14 of Deuteronomy. After stating that a kosher animal must have the two signs of a split hoof and chewing its cud, it lists those animals which may not be eaten. They include the camel, the hyrax, and the hare, both of which chew their cud but do not have hooves. Also listed is the pig, which does have split hooves but does not chew its cud. All other animals, says the Rambam, which are not specifically listed as being prohibited, are learned out from a kal vachomer. If an animal with one sign is prohibited, certainly those animals which have no signs whatsoever, such as a horse or a dog, certainly they are prohibited. We might ask, if the pig has at least one sign, which has at least, we might think it would be half kosher, more than other animals which have no sign whatsoever. Why then is the pig singled out of the, as the sign of something which is not kosher? The Medrash explains that the pig, having split hooves, can sit there in the mud, and sitting in the mud it sticks its hooves out of the mud and shows them to the bystanders, and says, "Ha, look at me, I am really kosher, look, I have split hooves." This deception is the characteristic which distinguishes the pig from other animals. In fact, it is the only existing animal which has only this one characteristic, a split hoof, without chewing its cud. The final mitzvah for today is Prohibition 174, which is the prohibition of eating a non-kosher bird. They are listed again in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11. All of the birds listed, as we mentioned previously, are not kosher, and are named. Since today we are not familiar with which birds correspond to the birds named in the Chumash, no bird may be eaten without having a proper Masoedus, a handed down tradition through the ages. There are various technical details of these commandments which the Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvot, and the listener should look there for more detail. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436, and please join us again tomorrow.